Thanks for stopping by to catch another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Lou Anne Crane here with our host, psychologist and best-selling author, Dr. James Dobson.
And I'm Ryan Dobson. And Dad and Lou Anne, to provide a little context for today's program, I'd like to read the scripture verse that was the centerpiece of the message we began last time. It's from Habakkuk 3:17 and 18, and it says, "Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior."
What a verse that is, and what faith Habakkuk had, find the ability to say, as Job did, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." Mm. You know, it is tempting to feel betrayed by God when tragedy strikes our families. And we're sometimes inclined to ask, "Where are you, Lord? Mm. Why have you let this happen to me? Why me?" And wrestling with those questions and attempting to find answers is what Dr. R.T. Kendall was talking to us about on the program that we heard yesterday. And we're going to hear the balance of that powerful message today. And I know it's going to be comforting, although challenging, to our listeners who are right now going through very difficult times.
And Doctor, I believe you described this as one of the most powerful sermons you've ever heard on this topic. Again, given by your very good friend, Dr. R.T. Kendall. Dr. Kendall's no stranger to bringing insights like this on biblical topics. He was the senior minister at Westminster Chapel for 25 years, and he has written over 50 books, including his latest called Totally Forgiving God When It Seems He Has Betrayed You.
Well, Dad and Luann, there is something here for everyone who's ever been hurt. Let's rejoin this message now featuring Dr. R.T. Kendall on this Family Talk broadcast.
Now, God allows things we don't understand. Sometimes He appears not to keep His word. Sometimes He appears to break His promise. The question is, will we accuse Him or let Him off the hook? That's the question. What if God does not answer your prayer? Are you saying, "Lord, I'll give you 5 minutes. I'll give you 5 days." As if you are entitled to an answer until you get over that feeling of entitlement, you will never break the betrayal barrier. Well, Habakkuk stands alongside Job and he asks, "Why does God allow suffering when He's perfectly capable of stopping it at any moment?" In fact, Habakkuk had four complaints. Here they are. Number one, God does not answer his prayer. Number two, God looked the other way when violence came upon His own covenant people. Number three, God's own people are having to endure injustice. Number four, God tolerated evil. It didn't add up. And yet Habakkuk had a surprising breakthrough. And here was the breakthrough: that God declares us righteous when we believe His word, if we're willing to wait until the end, to the end. Some years ago, I was going through quite a trial in London and had some people not happy with decisions I'd taken, and they were, you know, really making life miserable. And one day I opened my Bible and my eyes fell on these words: "God is just," this is in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, "He will pay back trouble to those who trouble you and give you relief who are troubled." I said, "Wonderful, wonderful." And then I felt an inner voice that said, "Keep on reading." It says, "This will happen when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven in blazing fire with His powerful angels." Well, no, I didn't mean to have to wait till then. I want to see you kill them now. And so here is Habakkuk wanting answers to his questions. I don't want the answer on the last day. I can't wait that long. I need to know now. But says God, the end will come, and you're going to get the answer. But Habakkuk said, it's all right. Though the fig tree does not bud and there are no grapes on the vines, no crops, no cattle, no sheep, I'll rejoice. Now, let's deal with something else. Only a fool would claim to solve the eternal problem of evil. Why God allows evil and suffering. Only a fool would claim to have the answer this side of heaven. That said, I'm going to have a go. Because I can tell you part of the reason. And part of the reason is that you might have faith. That you might truly believe. Now, there are two views when it comes to faith. There is the secular view, and that is seeing is believing. And there's the biblical view, believing without seeing. Now, the biblical view is this: faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. A number of years ago, I was reading in the 11th chapter of the Gospel of John. I saw something that changed my thinking forever. It is when Mary and Martha sent word to Jesus that Lazarus, whom you love, they were close friends, Lazarus is sick. Well, Jesus shows up 4 days after the funeral. But before Lazarus died, he just knew he could go right to Bethany. And then he said to his disciples, they were distance away, he says, Lazarus is dead. He said to him, he's dead. And you know what Jesus said to them? It's in John chapter 11, verse 15. Lazarus is dead, and for your sake, I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. They could never believe as long as Jesus did everything they wanted him to do. You wouldn't need faith if every time you prayed it was done. Well, those people, and I suspect there might be someone here, you're saying, well, one day I will believe when I see it. Let me tell you when that will be. In the book of Revelation chapter 1, verse 7, it says, behold, he comes with clouds. Every eye shall see him. They also which pierced him, and all the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Everybody will believe then. And when he comes in the clouds of glory, you say, oh, I didn't realize. Oh, I believe. Oh, God, I believe. That isn't faith. It won't be faith then. It'll be too late to have faith then. It's all over. Now is the accepted time. And so there will be a time when the prophecy of Habakkuk will be fulfilled. It will speak of the end, the last day, and God will clear his name. And when he clears his name, he will do it in such a way that nobody will say, that's not fair. He will clear his name, and we will all affirm him. And yet, those who clear his name now are the ones who, when he clears his name then, will rejoice because we were on the winning side. If you wait till then for God to clear his name, I would not want to be in your shoes for anything in the world. I have to ask you the question, do you know for sure if you were to die today, would you go to heaven? Do you? The other question, if you were to stand before God, and you will, and he were to ask you, and he might, why should I let you into my heaven? what would you say? Well, now, how do you forgive God totally? Let me just give a quick list. Number one, you be honest and tell God your complaint. It's all right. Psalm 142, verse 2, you're hurting. You don't understand. It's okay to pour out your complaint to God. Just don't do it to the people. Don't do it to the world. Just tell Him. Just tell Him. He can cope with that. Second, make a list of those things you are truly thankful for. Count your blessings. Name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Three, fight self-pity and a feeling of entitlement with all your heart, because giving into these things pleases the devil. Four, choose to believe that God is just and that He has a purpose in what is going on at this moment. Whatever it is, as I speak, chances are there's someone here. You are right now in the greatest trial of your whole life. There's someone here like that. You're in the greatest trial right now. Choose to believe that God has a purpose in it. And fifth, be willing to wait for things to come clear to you. Used to hear a song back in Kentucky. Someday He'll make it plain to me. Someday when I His face shall see. Someday from tears I shall be free. For someday I shall understand. I'll ask the reason. He'll tell me why. We'll talk it over in the by and by. But in the meantime, the devil wants you to be angry with God. Don't give the devil that pleasure. Don't give in to the satanic suggestion, but say, I don't understand it, but though he slay me, and though the fig tree does not bloom, it does not bud, I will rejoice. And by doing that, you join the ranks of the patriarchs. You know, I don't understand the book of Revelation. Now, this may shock you. You may say, oh, I'm demoralized. I thought you knew everything. Listen, well, when I was 19, I did. But I'll tell you, I know three things. God wins, the devil loses, and on the last day, God will clear His name when every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. God shall wipe away every tear from their eyes. My friend Dr. Michael Eaton says, it is a biblical principle that when God promises something but which does not apparently come to pass, you are given a temporary substitute, which is in fact far better than what you initially wanted. As in Hebrews chapter 11, they didn't get what was promised, but what they got was better. Take Johnny Erickson Tata, the diving accident that left her a quadriplegic. She could have been healed. But by not being healed, she's been given a ministry that goes around the world many times and has reached millions. Paul, with his thorn in the flesh, asked God to remove it. And God says, what if I just give you more grace? That's better. Paul says, I'll take it. Or in the case of Lazarus, who died, And Jesus shows up 4 days after the funeral, and Mary and Martha sulking said, "Lord, if you'd been here, our brother wouldn't have died." They blamed Jesus. You know what I love about this? Jesus didn't look at them and rebuke them and said, "Stop it. In a few minutes, I'm going to raise him from the dead if you just get over this." No, he just wept with them. He knew what he was going to do, and 5 minutes later, but he knew they didn't know. And that's the way Jesus is. He weeps. He doesn't moralize you. He doesn't make you feel guilty. He understands. And then it turns out that God had a strategy. He thought raising Lazarus from the dead was a better idea than answering their prayer. And so with you, whenever God says no, it's because he's got a better idea. And so I bring this word to a close. And you're in a trial right now, somebody here. What if you come to terms with the fact that your most earnest prayer will not be answered? What if you come to terms with the fact you won't be healed? You won't get married. You won't get the reconciliation you wanted. The revival, the awakening that you hoped for won't be coming. What if you accept the fact you won't have children? Those people who won't forgive you will always hold the grudge. What if you will go to your grave unvindicated, and the people out there will always believe those lies? What if that disability you have lived with won't go away? What if you don't get the job you wanted? What if you don't get to live in the house of your dreams? Can you say, though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will rejoice in God my Savior. Congratulations. You have just joined the ranks of the patriarchs, Habakkuk, those people in Hebrews chapter 11 who turned the world upside down. And your anointing will be greater here below. And then, one day, you will hear from the lips of Jesus himself, looking right at you, saying, "Well done." That's worth waiting for. Doesn't get better than that.
Well, Dad, I know you feel the same way. Hearing those words is worth the wait. And I'm so glad we could bring this message from Dr. R.T. Kendall to our listeners today here on Family Talk.
Well, Ryan, I shared yesterday that when I first heard this message from Dr. Kendall, I was deeply moved, even to the point of tears, because I could remember times in my life when I just didn't understand what God was doing, and I still don't. The Lord will not be accountable to man. There are times when the pieces don't fit, and if you think that God is obligated to explain to you everything he's doing, you're going to get disappointed. In fact, Dr. R.T. Kendall called that the betrayal barrier. And I wrote about that in my book, When God Doesn't Make Sense, because it's true. Eventually, you come to a point. I mean, it may come when you're young, but it may be in the latter years of your life. But you come to a point where you hit that wall, where you say, "God, why would you do this to me? This baby that you gave us has been lost, and we loved him or her so much. And that child is now in heaven." You can't explain that. There will be times when the pieces do not fit. What do you do when that occurs? You get mad at God? Do you refuse to follow him anymore? You say, if this is the way you run your universe, I don't want anything to do with it. And yet there is no other answer. There is no other solution. There is no other God to whom we can turn. And the scripture tells us these moments are coming. Mm. And when they do, you just keep on believing. Don't demand answers. The scripture tells us that we should lean not on our own understanding. Now, you know what that means? That means don't demand answers. When you lean on your own ability to comprehend, you will eventually run aground because we're not given all of the answers. And if the Lord had wanted us to know all the answers, he would have given them to us. But he tells us we will someday know even as we are now known. And that's good enough. You keep on believing. Don't give up on him. He is there. He loves you. He cares for you. That's what Dr. Kendall was saying, only he said it better than I ever will.
I don't know, Doctor. I would imagine that there is someone who's tuned in right now today for whom this was a divine appointment. They needed to hear precisely what both you and Dr. R.T. Kendall said.
Well, don't you know it? Mm-hmm. Well, we're talking to thousands, tens of thousands of people today. There are many, many folks out there who instantly think of the pain in their own life when they hear this story. Yeah. They may go back for a number of years, but they recall, that was a time when I hit the betrayal barrier. I have been there. I smashed into the wall and I came staggering back. Mm. And I still don't understand it. Mm. When is God going to explain it to me? Well, he never gave Job an answer to the marvelous questions he was asking. In the book of Job, there are these wonderful, articulated questions that Job asked God. And what did he say to him in return? Who are you to question me? I made the heavens. I made the streams. I made the earth. And you're asking me to tell you why I do what I do? I'm not accountable to you. But you go on believing me. And it was counted worthy of him because of his faith. Mm-hmm. Same thing was said of Abraham. And in fact, in Romans 4, one of my favorite verses, it's 4:18. Listen to this about Abraham. He'd been promised that there would be a miracle child given to him and Sarah. They were both beyond the age of procreation. And yet, after God had made that promise, it didn't happen. I don't know how many years it went on, but listen to this. Against all hope, Abraham, in hope, believed. And so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, and was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being persuaded that God had the power to do what he had promised. This is why it was credited to him as righteousness. Mm. When it didn't make sense, when none of the pieces fit, Abraham continued to believe. There was no hope, but in hope he believed. That's what he calls us to do.
You know what I know, Dad?
What's that?
The reason you can speak that way with that kind of emotion in your voice about this topic is the same reason Dr. Kendall can speak that way in his sermon. It's because of experience. All of us have hit that betrayal barrier and bounced off of it. And hopefully we are encouraging people today in our honesty of those situations.
No matter where you are in your walk with the Lord, maybe you already have a solid relationship, but you need to dig a little deeper on this topic. Mm. Or Ryan, perhaps we're speaking to someone who has not yet even embraced that faith in Christ at all. Please get in contact with us here at Family Talk. Here's a phone number to write down. Give us a call, 877 732-6825. We can direct you, of course, first and foremost, to the Word of God. We have a complimentary copy of the Gospel of John we would love to give you. Or ask us about Dr. R.T. Kendall's book, Totally Forgiving God When It Seems He Has Betrayed You. Again, the number 877-732-6825, or online at drjamesdobson.org.
It was no accident that you're listening to the program today. Mm-hmm. And we appreciate you sharing your day with us. And we hope to see you for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
And let me leave our listeners with this. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed. That's our verse for today.
Amen.
Thanks for listening.
Family Talk is not affiliated with Focus on the Family.